from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Hey, man. All right, poll question time. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, who is the baddest female athlete from the United States at the Olympics? The winner and correct answer, Simone Biles,
yeah.
48%. Katie Ledecky, 31%. Sophia Smith, 17%. Sha'Carri Richardson, 4%. Although that's a little unfair to Sha'Carri because... Well, I don't think she's really done much yet. Her events are still to come.
Well, she won a silver in the 100.
Did she?
She won a silver in the 100. I don't think she qualified for the 200.
Well, the 100 was the one she was heavily favored
to win.
She was
heavily favored.
And then had to like walk an hour to get to the stadium that day and missed her warm-ups.
Okay. Yeah, so she went silver. I don't think she qualified for the 200, if I'm not mistaken. And then she's got some relays that are coming up. But yeah, her big event was... she was the heavy favorite in the 100 meters, and she went down.
I stand corrected. Look at me, cocky American. I was just thinking that I would eventually read about her winning golds.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, she could still win.
You know?
She could still win it in the relay, but yeah, I don't think there's any individual gold coming her way. So this is now two Olympics that she was going to go in as the, you know, kind of the big dog. And the other one, remember, she had the marijuana positive test, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, that she tested positive for marijuana so she can't run. That's dumb. And then this one was a monster disappointment because that's one of the marquee events. She was the favorite and she got nicked in it.
Today's poll question, X at 1080 The Fan, how much do you consume behind the scenes football content like Hard Knocks and that team out west? One answer is I can't get enough. Two is I'll peek on occasion. Or three, not at all, too sanitized. We want you to vote.
Well, it certainly is sanitized.
We want you to vote hard.
And it's a bit heavy-handed at times for me.
What does that mean? Heavy-handed?
Cheesy.
Oh.
The team out west is dude, we could dial it back like three notches, but it's not for me. And I've also said many times that I've got something broken inside me. The rah-rah team stuff, I always struggled with it. I didn't like it when I played. I don't like it now. So I totally understand that for me, when I watch that, there's a little like, can we tone it down? But like, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague this morning. Dirt, I think, touched himself to the team out west.
Mm.
And it's really, really well done. And it does give you a nice sanitized look behind the scenes. And also... Boy, I'll tell you what, like, I'm not bitter or anything. I'm jealous. College football is so much cooler now than when I played. Like, guys are on private planes, like the retreats that they're going.
Is that just Oregon, though?
No, dude. It's
they're all doing that?
Because
that was pretty...
If you're at a big-time school.
They were filming some pretty cool stuff on that show. So, if you don't know, that Team Out West is the Oregon football documentary that they're doing. And the first one, it's going to drop every Tuesday on the Oregon football Twitter. And this one was like 33 minutes. One episode every Tuesday and following them through camp.
And Ty Burrell is the narrator and they do the cheesy HBO voiceovers.
Dude, it is exactly like Hard Knocks. As a matter of fact, they have Burrell narrating with the his cadence is just like Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, and the music too, they like it's not exactly the same, but it's like they tried to get an AI copy of it.
Yeah, you ordered Hard Knocks off of Temu or Wish and you got this. Yeah. Like there's even the one, like there's these little one-liners at the end where it's like, you know, it may be hot outside, but it's heating up even more on the practice field. Right. And you're like, oh my God. That's where I'm like,
they had something early with the construction.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and like, but the expansion continues or something like that.
Everything's under construction in this program, but that's the way they like it. Like there's some of that stuff that's just, to me it was an eye roll, but
a lot of people love that.
Yes. Like I said, there are people like, again, Dirt touching himself to this, and it's really well done. It's shot really well. The production's really is really good. It, you could not tell the difference between Oregon doing that and HBO doing it. And Lanning comes across as a stud that you get to see some of the players, some of the behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, there should be probably more teams doing stuff like this, because for your fans, that's just red meat. I mean, that's just for your dogs. I mean, that is for all the hardcore fans. They will eat that stuff up. And, you know, recruits love that sort of stuff because, again, it's just that generation, it's all about putting a camera in someone's face and telling them how great they are.
Well, I got to say, if I'm a recruit, I watch that, I want to join them.
Yes. It's pretty cool to be a duck.
100%.
Yeah, and that's all they're trying to do. Yes. Like, I feel like Lanning is only signing off on any of this stuff
for recruiting
purposes. If it helps recruiting. Yes. And so it better be sanitized. It better show. Like, it shows a lot of... Lanning does look great in it, and so does Will Stein. But, again... As you know, the seedy part of football and the tough part of football is
away from it.
It's not being shown. Yeah. But I will say that, and we all know that. I mean, come on.
And we're not going to get one controversial thing in this whole
thing. Not one thing. Nope. You're right. And we all know that we won't see that. But we do get a glimpse of what is best about the coaching staff. And I will say, they come across wonderfully because it really feels to me like they... And I don't know if this is just today's generation needs more of this, or there are more coaches like this, or it's just because you have a young coaching staff. But they seem more in tune with human dynamic type of stuff, more so than old Bear Bryant saying, get your ass up, no water, run it again.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of instances in the Team Out West, the first episode, where Lanning's talking, or other coaches are talking to kids about how they feel, about... you know, just motivational things that are uplifting. You know, it's a little bit more, it's just a little bit more, I think a kid may get a little bit more out of football seeing that if coaches are like that than they would your traditional football coach. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they just, they care. You can tell they really care. And some of caring is not just X's and O's and that player knowing what he's doing on the field. It's that player's mentality. Yeah. It's teaching that kid to be a leader, like we talked about with Alex Molden last week. It's all of those things. And they do a really good job, at least in the first episode, of showing that the coaches really dig into that kind of stuff. And it's kind of cool.
Well, that makes for the best coaching staffs. And also too, I think in this world, this generation that they're having to recruit in and the player empowerment and stuff, I'm sure there is a place for the heavy-handed red ass, but boy, you got to really walk a fine line. I think if you want to be successful, it behooves you to be more of the coaches that you're talking about. And I think a coach like Lanning understands that you're better off hiring a staff that's the majority of them are like that. And then if you need one or two red asses, like the O-line coach will usually be a giant a-hole, or you know, the strength and conditioning guy. But yeah, I do think we're moving away certainly from the Woody, Woody and Bear days of college football.
Yeah, I think all those guys' tendencies are, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but the coach that's like that, the reason they're like that is, one, it can be effective, and two, it's the easiest way to go about getting your team to fall in line.
100%.
But they're shrapnel, right? Yeah. Like that comes with
a
price.
We talked to Trent Dilfer about this, and he said that. He said he kind of I want to use the analogy. I think he said it was like beating your dog, which just can be a little, you know, I remember at the time being like, but it's true. Like, you can beat a dog into submission, but the dog is only listening to you because it's scared of you. And he pointed out, eventually they stop being scared of you. And the people that truly uplift, and the coaches, they get you to follow along because the animal wants to follow you. It knows that you care for it. There's a love and a connection there. And I remember him using that analogy to, like, the best coaches he ever had were those that, yes, could be demanding, but they came from a place of love, and it was more uplifting, and it was a positive reinforcement, not the negative one. And those are the ones that have lasting impacts, yeah, and don't burn
out. I feel like it shows in this first episode that the Ducks coach is landing. These guys build up instead of tear down.
Yeah.
And that's refreshing.
I would like to see Coach Kavanaugh, though, because he swears like a sailor, and I think he's hilarious.
Now,
the longtime Beaver O-line coach, he was in the he didn't say anything, but he was in the back. I think he's like an offensive analyst. I want to see that guy just out at practice, like a 2-minute clip of him just coming up with new curse words.
Well, even the poi.
Yeah.
You know, they have him in there, and we know what he's like.
Oh, yeah. And he even dropped like a gosh darn it or something, and I was like, edited.
But
you know, someone was like, hey, can we take two here and cut out the, you know.
He did the rare gosh damn, didn't he? Didn't he say gosh damn?
Said something like that.
It was very odd.
I was like, I wonder if that was for the cameras.
It sort of felt like him being a part of that staff will make him better, too.
Yeah.
Like, they've brought him around, yeah. Even so, it's hard to tell from just the sanitized promotional material, but it's pretty cool to see. Here's a text on the Vancouver Ford text line. It says, not to be cynical, but coaches have to recruit their own players year round, and the best way to do that is to build an actual relationship with players, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
and it's true. I mean, you know, when you look at the tactics of these coaches, it all really comes back to one thing: what's going to help me win, and what's going to help me recruit.
Yes,
and that is, if you're smart and looking at things wisely, that is the way to do it.
This age of college football is leading and will lead to an emergence of this sort of coaching staff. There will be more of them than there will be of the old school.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, I think that is good.
So how much do you consume behind-the-scenes football content like HBO's Hard Knocks or Oregon's That Team Out West? Right now, we are split. We've got 37% saying I'll peak on occasion, 35% saying not at all, and 28% saying I can't get enough.
Mm. Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle.
So vote and vote hard. I can't get enough. I watch it all.
You love it?
Well, I don't think it's all great in terms of just content.
Yeah, but you watch.
But I definitely watch it. Mm-hmm. I really can't get enough of it. Like, I'm going to be right there next Tuesday.
Yeah.
For both shows. And they may suck, but I'll be right back there the Tuesday after.
I watch it, but I'm not going to lie. I watch a lot of it because the show. If we weren't going to discuss it, I'm not certain that I would watch it the way that I do. But I when I do watch it, I enjoyed it. I generally walked away after the 33 minutes, and my first thought when I was done with it was, that was really well done.
Well, I like seeing the private jet stuff.
Yeah.
And we do get to see a little bit of that.
And that's the stuff. Every time I see this now, I just think about how janky college football was when I played. And I know 20 years is a long time, but I just look back at it and I'm like, I don't recognize one thing, not a single thing about
not even the star quarterback driving a minivan.
That is a BYU thing.
Maybe the most humble thing in that whole show.
I guarantee he's got another car.
I guarantee he's got $1.5 million and a half bucks in NIL.
That ain't the only car that dude's got rolling around. But yeah, it was just every time I see that, and I just think, like, if you did a Hard Knocks, like, when I played, it would just be me and my friends drinking really crappy beer and eating Taco Bell. Like, there was summer retreats. What? Whose ever house got the new Saving Private Ryan on Blu-ray, and how drunk we can get and not throw up from eating tacos. It's a different world, and college football is better for it. It's athletes are better. Staffs are better. Resources are better. The game is better than ever.
All right, a couple of things to carry over on this, then we'll wrap that up and we will talk about your and my Chicago White Sox. Mm. They started a new streak today.
I told you.
You told us what?
They were going to win a game against the A's.
You do knew that.
I do. I do
knew
that.
I do knew that.
Yeah, I do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In fact, thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Buck. Yeah, we're talking about the Ducks little reality show called that Team Out West. And you know, it dawned on me, Jace, in the very first scene where Lanning is gathering the team to talk about the new season, it dawned on me for the first time where that whole unknown, we're the underdog, just that Team Out West mantra comes from. And it's Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Because he's
the one that says it.
Well, no, I just mean he's thought that way about Oregon, right? Like, of course that's his theme. That's how Oregon was viewed by him when he was at Georgia, right? Like, I think that's where it comes from.
I didn't think about that, or I hadn't thought about that, I should say. It's interesting.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I just kind of got the sense that it was just kind of a clever little... I don't know. And also forced. It's like when someone decides they're going to call themselves Bronco.
But he worked at Arizona State as well. So like he had.
He did.
But that was before Georgia.
I know. But when you get immersed into the SEC culture,
yeah.
I don't think you could help but think of Oregon that way.
I wonder. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Next time we have him on, I think that would be a good question. Be like, hey, where was the inception of that? And was that kind of the perception when you were at Georgia? Because, I mean, at this point, and they pointed out, and it's true, Oregon over the last, 20 years is a top 10 winning team in the country. They played for a couple national championships. But I wonder
well,
what...
Well, that's why it kind of doesn't fit, right? You said it's like not really the right mantra because Oregon's not that and has sort of shed that, at least we think. But maybe it hasn't. When the coach who has been here for, and this is only his, third season. And he comes from Georgia. He's still saying this.
I mean, for God's sakes, LeBron James calls himself just a kid from Akron that no one believed in.
Hey, you think that's wrong?
Do you have Chosen One tattooed on your back and you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16? So I don't know. That, again, I get why people eat that stuff up. I get it's a clever name. I would like to believe that it was just something that Lanning said and not something that was cooked up in a marketing campaign. Not certain that that's true. And for me, I rolled my eyes at it like the third time he said it. But again, for Oregon fan, and for those players, I'm sure the us against the world, that Team Out West. I'm sure that again is red meat for the dogs. I was saying that we're just going to be a pain in the ass for anyone that plays us. Like Lanning is very good at that. And we saw that last year with the Colorado thing. He may do the, we're not in this for clicks or, we talk with our helmet and all that stuff, but he is very, very good at the pregame motivational speech and hitting the right chords. I can see where an 18, 19, 20-year-old young man listens to him speak and wants to go run through a wall for him. I totally get that.
And the only thing really tangible coming out, actually nothing tangible came out of it in terms of the team, but I did think it was interesting. One thing that Lanning said towards the end, he said, that we have a bunch of seniors and top end talent.
The middle is
we have young talent, but we have a gap in the middle where we don't really know who's filling those roles yet.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I did.
And something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because he was talking about when I think it was in regards to the Bassa and someone else. And because he was talking to his coaches And he was saying it's not about just coaching the great players
in Sun River.
Yeah, in Sun River.
You like that house they rented?
Yeah, that was nice. That's the other one I want to ask him. Does he have to pick up that tab, or is that on the Oregon?
Oh, no, that's in the budget.
That's
man.
In the budget.
He ain't paying for that.
That's a nice place.
It was nice. It was big old nice. House.
Operating right expenses, baby.
Right yeah, on the river.
That was tasty. Way nicer than the house they were at. I was a little disappointed with the beach house that the Edge Rushers went to. I thought that kitchen was a little cramped and...
Well, they were right on the water, though.
Yeah,
and those are hard to come by.
I'm calling it right now. I think the defensive edge rushers, I think they kind of got screwed.
Yeah, the coaches got the better deal.
I didn't like it. I didn't like
that. We had Gabriel and the offense went to...
Southern Oregon,
like on the Rogue River.
Yeah, and that was pretty nice.
That was nice.
And then we had the coaches go to Sun River.
Yeah, which was...
They went to Sisters, I thought. Didn't they go to Sisters, the coaches?
I thought it was Sun River.
Was it Sun River? I thought the whole...
Either way, it was Tees. That house they rented, that thing was badass. Nice.
And then
Tosh and the edge rushers.
Yeah, those guys all went out to the coast.
They went to Cannon Beach.
And it was a little...
Worked on some technique on the beach.
That was a bit much for
after
me.
Watching some film of Chris Jones.
Yeah.
It was a bit much. It was a little... Well, much for me. I was like, oh my God, really?
Football.
Yeah, put a shirt on.
Take off your shirt and throw me. Take off your shorts and dunk me.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say, but gross. Yes, the house was very, the house was
whatever. Very that is enough of that. All right.
Like, it's
whatever.
It's
I mean, look, it was a 30-minute promo for Oregon football.
Yes. It's like a WWE hype video.
That's what it was.
And it worked. Oh, we were talking about the coaching thing. And he was talking to his coaches. He says the mark of a good coach is the one that can you have to coach the next guy up. It's easy to focus on the you know the guys that are there or the people that are young and really need the help. But he was talking about, like, again, kind of that middle thing and finding the next guy. And if you really want to be an elite coach, it's about elevating that the kid behind to then kind of come up. I thought that some of that stuff I thought was really interesting when he was talking about kind of a coaching philosophy.
Right.
Because I do remember that. Like, I do remember that playing. You do reach a certain point where, like, when you've been there a long time and you're a really good player, I don't know, you just kind of, you know what you're doing. And yeah, they may give you some fine tuning stuff and all that, but I mean, you're kind of set. And it really is like, how do you get the people behind you to get to that level? And when you build that depth, that's when good teams become great. And that's the other thing that they were pointing out on this team. And I think it's going to be the strength of this team. This team is deep. Dude, there are NFL players at every position, but there are kids coming up at every position that when you talk to people close to that program, they say, dude, we got some guys that you may not have as a household name, but you give this thing like 8 weeks in and there's going to be some young cats that you're going to be like, where the hell did that kid come from?
And I was listening to something today that was basically like, with the new 12-team playoff format, that is going to be absolutely crucial to be able to go that deep in the season. The teams who have that, the Georgias, the Oregons, the Ohio States, they're going to be set up so much better, even if they don't have a perfect middle of the season.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's an important part.
Exactly. Because there is going to be...
You're
going to
need those guys.
Yeah, it's well, remember when we were watching I think it was the Auburn year that they might have been Ohio State. I forget which national title it was. And remember going into the I think it was the Ohio State one. And remember going into the locker room after the game, both sides, and whether you were talking about kind of the agony defeat or the joys of victory, both of those teams were just exhausted. And I remember hearing the players just talk about how happy they were that it was over. They're like, oh my God, I am so tired.
Yeah, I think it was Royce Freeman. So that would have been...
That would have been the
after
Ohio
the
State
Ohio
game.
State game, yeah.
Yeah, that they were just gassed. And it's going to be even worse than that. But like the other one, like a name like the... And he played last year, but he didn't have many catches or whatever. But like you're hearing from people out of there that is Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah,
they've got a tight end coming, and like Terrence Ferguson said this, and Terrence Ferguson is an NFL tight end.
Yeah,
said, dude, that's the best tight end. Like that kid right there. When you've got an NFL player who's a starting tight end that's coming back, that says, no, no, no. I think the direct quote was, he's got the ability to be the best tight end to ever come through this program.
Well, someone else compared him to Brock Bowers, yes. And Will Stein leaned into it. He goes, yeah. I'm not sure I want to say exactly that, but yeah, he could do all the things Brock can do as far as where we want to line him up and all the roles we need him to fill.
So when you start hearing stuff like that, that's one of those names that if you're a casual fan, you've never heard of, or you don't, you know, like whatever. And then midway through the year, he's going to have one of those games where he's going to have like nine catches for like 120 yards, two touchdowns, and someone's going to be like, who the hell is that? He's not even starting. And then next year he'll be a preseason, you know, all Big Ten, all American type guy. And that's the difference between the Oregon roster of 5-6 years ago, or even 10 years ago, and some of those Georgia Bama rosters, is they just, the wave of talent. Like when I would go play Florida State, I think it was the year after they won the national title with Wanky and Peter Work and all that stuff. That's what I noticed from when we played him. Wasn't necessarily the starting 22, although their 22 was better than ours. I didn't feel like it was just like the, oh my God, we can't play with these guys. But man, it just came in waves. Just wave after wave after wave, and there was no drop off. And that's how you win national championships.
God dang, what do you think?
All right, enough about that. Let's move on to a real team. The Chicago White Sox.
That's right. My White Sox.
Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.